Hello and welcome to Visionary Spaces, Psychedelics, Creativity, and Play. This episode is with the lovely Selena Quinn. She's the leader of the Camino Sagrado Retreat Center down in the Sacred Valley of Peru, where I've been attending for the last 3 years. Selena has created a lovely container for literally thousands of people to come down and for the most part have their first experiences with ayahuasca. As you'll hear, her mission is basically to send out the seeds of peace to the world as the individuals transformed by the medicine and by the work done in retreat go back to their homes and make transformations in their communities. And as Selena and I were chatting before I hit the record button, she asked if it would be okay if during the course of the interview, she asked me how I've changed since first coming down to the Camino. And I said, sure, no problem. And then when we were done with the interview, it turned out that we'd both forgotten. She forgot to ask me and I'd forgotten to mention it. So I promised that as part of this introduction, I would mention some of the ways that I feel I've changed since first coming to Camino Sagrado some 3 years ago. First, I used to be a rational materialist. I was very confident in my perspective as a devout atheist. I believed in this ridiculous idea that to know anything, it had to sort of be proven by science. And in retrospect, it seems a little silly on a lot of levels. But anyway, that's the first thing that changed when I came back. I was more open and I was more connected with my intuitive self. I realized, and that's actually one of the biggest parts of this podcast is how to connect with your intuitive self, because it was novel for me. I realized that science can't explain everything, if only just because of our limited tool set. So in other words, if we don't have the tools with which to measure something, if we don't have the scientific instruments, we can't verify its existence. And that verification is independent of a phenomenon's actual existence or not. Anyway, so now I'm much more open to a lot of things that I might have considered to be woo-woo in the past, and a lot of things that I might still dismiss because they're really outside of my latitude of acceptance, I'm still a lot less judgmental about, because, I mean, we really don't know that much about a lot of stuff in the universe and in the world. Second thing that changed is I don't care nearly as much about what other people think about me. I realized I was overly concerned about dancing or singing or doing karaoke, stuff like that, where I'd have to show myself in a vulnerable way. And now I'm much less concerned about that. Best example of this is that I don't need to be intoxicated any longer to dance at a wedding. And that's new in the past, 3 years. The third thing is, in the past, I used to use alcohol as an avoidance mechanism. I learned over the past 3 years that I used alcohol to avoid feelings of shame, fear, or anxiety about the future. I'm overall less ashamed, less fearful and anxious. And my consumption of alcohol is a minuscule fraction of what it used to be. And on top of that, not only don't I use it for those things, but I'm aware that avoiding my feelings with something like alcohol or any other kind of distraction isn't any way to deal with life. And so both cognitively and emotionally, I'm not really interested in drinking. And it's not something that I had a big realization about. It's just something that is just something that I've kind of dropped off with. Fourth thing, my awareness of the present moment is much higher. I'm much less concerned about the future. I'm generally positive that things will work themselves out. And I realize that there's not a whole lot that I can do to control the future. And there's absolutely nothing I can do to control the past. So there's a lot less concern about those things. And then another big change is just understanding what it is like to live with an open heart. And it's something I didn't even understand what it meant before. And now it's a big part of my life. And I really try to be open-hearted with other people. So I think that's pretty good for 3 years in process of transformation and, working to be a better person. And I hope that you enjoy this interview with Selena. She has a lot to say. And if you're interested in doing a retreat at Camino Sagrado, I highly, highly recommend it. It's probably the best place for a first timer to go if they don't have any experience with ayahuasca. They take incredibly good care of you. The food is great. People are great. Everything is great down there. It's lovely. And if you're more experienced, there might be other places to go as well, but I still enjoy going there. But definitely, if you're a first timer, I couldn't recommend any place more highly. And as I just said, even though I'm relatively experienced with drinking plants, I still love going to Camino Sagrado because of the peace that I found there. It's a beautiful and sacred place, and it is drenched in peace. And I think when you listen to Selena and what she has to say about her perspective, what her mission is, I think you'll understand why I love that place and why it feels like such a peaceful place to me. Anyway, thanks for listening and see you at the next episode.
Visionary spaces, psychedelics, creativity, and play. With your host, Michael Puente. Conversations with masters of the visionary space.
Hello, I'm here with Selena Quinn at the Camino Sagrado Retreat in the sacred, beautiful Sacred Valley in Peru. Very, very beautiful. Beautiful doesn't even describe this place. Hello, Selena.
Hello, Mike. Lovely to have you back with us again.
Yes, this is my third time here, and I love this place. I really love this place. You hold such a wonderful container for people to come here and explore themselves and learn about themselves and better themselves and think about their lives. And it's a very safe place. I mean, it just feels very safe here. People who might not be used to being vulnerable, this is a very safe place to be able to practice that and to work on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I really believe 90% of that is you. I mean, you just, whatever's going on, you seem to have a way with people and a way with your presence of like making people feel comfortable and making people feel like family here. So thank you for the 3 years here. This is a very big part of my heart is here.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this episode is going to be about Camino Sagrado and about yourself, because you've seen well over 1,000 people come through here with massive transformations, including my own. So before we get to that, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what path led you to being the driving force here. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, I would love to. Yeah, thank you. Well, I suppose to begin with, I very much took the professional path of university, career in teaching, career in human rights. And I've always had that desire naturally in me in this lifetime to share with others. I do believe that the spirituality side has always been there, because I grew up in Ireland in the remote countryside and without any neighbors, and was always outside in nature. So I could feel the spirits around. And I really believe that that was my first connection with spirit that's always been there all of my life. And first connection with Mother Earth that's been really the driving force for me throughout all situations in my life, the connection force as well. So I suppose I went the path of the professional world and to be successful in that world, which I was, but wasn't the path for me. And I remember a dear friend back in Ireland who is an astrologist was asking me, you know, how is everything at some point? When I felt everything was okay, but as soon as she asked me in a deeper way, I just realized that everything was false. It just crumbled, you know, all of my masks shattered in that moment. And I could be honest with myself in that moment that it wasn't okay. That really what I had built, how I was going about my life, was not how I wanted to, wasn't in resonance with my true being. And at that time, when I was in the human rights work in Ireland, I was also learning this program called Capacitar, which is many, many different healing modalities from around the world, all under the one umbrella. And I mean, already I was still connected with yoga, but this really opened the world of energy work and healing in groups and communities, because I was working a lot with schools and children around Ireland at that time. And so I really delved into that. And then the things that I wanted to delve into further in those techniques, such as meditation, such as yoga, such as energy release techniques, I further studied those. And then, I mean, I suppose also I've always been a traveler. Ever since I was 18, my vision in this lifetime has always been of the world. Even though I was born on a small island, it was always, okay, I'm here, but I want to explore the world.
Right.
And so I feel that that sense of travel has always been such an inspiration for more in this lifetime. To discover more in cultures, to discover more in languages, to discover more in spirituality. I often also changed when it came to a point in my career where I needed to change, because for my own resonance, my own alignment. And it was difficult, because it's difficult often to take that leap.
Yes.
And this was the hardest one, to leave that job of human rights and to go with my partner at the time for several years all around Asia. We had both lived in Asia before when I was teacher there in Korea. And this time it was more like a spiritual mission for a few years, to go to India and be immersed in yoga, to go to Nepal and be immersed in, well, the Himalayas and Buddhism, to go and we lived some time in Bali. We lived in a camper van in Australia. and camper vans all around Australia.
That's cool.
And this was incredible because it was like such a spiritual quest to just be like, okay, this is dedicated solely to meditation, yoga, and our own spiritual development. And it was amazing. It was really, really incredible. And after that, I couldn't return to those professions in the same way. I still dabbled in and out for some time before really, truly finding my feet in terms of really feeling the courage to totally go into this path. Mm. And ayahuasca was a big help for me in that. I felt her call for a long time to really deal with some childhood trauma, which has been with me all my life, but I didn't realize till later in life of trauma, abuse.
How long ago was this that you just started thinking about?
It was more so, it was abuse as a child, and it really came up for me and my sisters when we were in our 20s.
Oh, okay.
And also I didn't have any memory of it because I blocked that out.
Okay.
This is really what brought me all my life on a different path, I feel. Mm. It really impacted me to always search for some kind of healing that I didn't know what I was healing. And after some time, I realized what it was.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel that's the same for a lot of people that I've talked to throughout this retreat center and my time before, that often we're not sure exactly what it is, but there's something in there.
Right.
And it often drives us in a different path
right.
of healing. And so I felt the call of ayahuasca several years ago when I was in Bali. I had one ceremony. And then 5 years ago, I came to properly do a dieta in the jungle with ayahuasca. And also at this point, it was very, very intense. But I had also at this point done a lot of years of practice of yoga, of emotional release, of meditation. Yes, at one point with Vipassana, it was a very intense meditation practice that also really helped me in that front. So I feel with all of those tools, it was possible for me to do this dieta. But I realized just how intense it was because I didn't have any of the language at that time.
Can you explain what the dieta is?
Yes, of course. It's basically you're in isolation. So I went to one maestra in Pucallpa, which is in the jungle in Peru here, Donna Inez, and I did a dieta, which is basically every few days, we did 9 ceremonies in total in a month, and also dieted a certain plants. So for me, for example, the likes of bubansana, really deeply emotional releasing plants, these kind of plants, dieting those. And then being on a strict diet of no salt, basically every day eating rice, banana, and egg. So eating that every day for a month and dieting the plants and being in isolation.
Sounds hard.
So it was really intense. It was really intense, but I was able to do it because first of all, I've always been a warrior in my life. And second of all, with many tools behind me, I could, because it was like, okay, I've got the tool to integrate this. But I really did feel at that point that at some point, if I worked with the medicine, because I felt for a long time the message from spirit saying that at some point I would be working in retreats settings and running a retreat center. And at that time, I had that message very, very strongly.
Wow.
I actually had planned just before that to do it in Bali with a healer friend there as well. But it just didn't work out in that moment. And so I felt the call very, very strongly to come back to Peru. And I give myself 6 months and set up my own business before that. Because at that point, I was already doing all of the things in terms of really feeling like, okay, this is the time to no longer fall back to the old crutches of the jobs that really I didn't belong in anymore, but that offered me money.
Right.
And so it was a case of, okay, I'm going to work really hard to create my own business here and bring it with me wherever I go. And so I did that back in Belfast. And then it was the time to come back here. And as soon as I came back to the Valley, it was a case of, okay, let's get going on this classes, workshops, and really letting go. My mantra at that time was to surrender to the flow of the universe and let go of forcing things to happen in my life.
Wow.
which is still a mantra for me, a big mantra.
You can all learn from that mantra.
Yes, totally. And really, the doors just opened. Everything just presented itself. Really, the valley, the spirits of this incredible location, they opened me with welcome arms. And I felt that everything was in flow. As I say, I've always been so connected with nature. So the first place I went was to camp beside the river when I came here to the valley and met a friend. And we were doing some retreats together. And then I met Trinity and the two of us set up El Camino Sagrado. And it just was in such a flow state of, okay, this is all unraveling, being revealed. And it's been such a blessing with El Camino Sagrado to live this reality, especially with the experience of having lived another reality.
Right.
And to be able to live in this such a magical place, also such a energetically intense place, because it really, really makes you do your personal work.
Right. So how many years has it been now?
So it's been about 4 years.
Wow. Wow. So what's the mission of Camino Sagrado?
When myself and Trinity came together, we first of all, it was very interesting, we talked about, so what is it that you wish to create? And we both had exactly the same vision. And really, it's to elevate the energy of the divine feminine so that it can come into balance with the divine masculine in this world. So for us, it's very much about honoring and elevating that energy and honoring both in doing so to really create more balance and harmony in this planet. You know, so first of all, for the team of us involved, that has been such work for ourselves and for this place and for everybody that comes here, because often that requires going into your place of vulnerability, softening all of the things that have been so hard and hardened within ourselves and in our societies, throwing away all sense of conditioning to really surrender and be present and know our own energies and soften into that female's energy in all of us so that we can really allow things to be revealed, allow healing to truly occur, and allow ourselves to see the shadows that exist in all of us.
So the divine feminine, do you find that that's drawing people here in particular?
I feel that, I mean, for me, when I'm expressing about the divine feminine, it's not to, for me, it's all inclusive because it's to attract balance, more balance and harmony in this world. Because this world and the human population are totally out of balance.
Right.
And so it's more so to really bring us back in and honor, for example, as I mentioned, all of the vulnerability, the need to release. I feel what really attracts people here is that we have a very heart-centered approach and a very authentic approach to living. To live in as community, in sharing as tribe, to growing together, to be so real about what it is to live in this world and how we help each other do that. And I do believe that a lot of people feel that, especially when they come here.
Yes, I certainly do. Yes. I mean, that's what keeps me coming back.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, and also the thing is, because nobody's perfect, we are all always growing, you know? So for me and for most of the team, it's been such a continuous growth of learning, you know, of also making, not mistakes, because they're experiences, but having experiences and learning from them and realizing what way we actually really want to grow and what we really want to share. And as I mentioned to you, Mike, no retreat is ever the same. I mean, there's so much to live and explore and experience in this world that for anybody that comes back to us, or even for any of ourselves, we don't want to just do the same stuff over and over again. This, for me, is what keeps us all alive, no? When we can really bring that sense of life and that sense of sharing and growing into what we do so that it doesn't become stale, you know, or the energy doesn't become stagnant.
Yeah, you've done a very good job of that, because now this is my third time around. And I imagine when I was first here that it was, oh, this is like a, not a cookie cutter approach, but this is going to get the same thing. And then it was different the second time, and it's totally different the third time. And I love how you guys reinvent and improve and work to make things better. And it's just amazing how that transformation has happened in terms of continuous change, and it makes it feel fresh this time as it has the first time, and makes the experience so much better.
Totally. And really, for me, it's a reflection of life. Because always, we are shedding old skins and we're also growing. And we want that, we want to share that as well with everybody that comes here. For me, I've always had a very strong sense of family and community. And I know that that's a very big mission for El Camino Sagrado and for me personally in this lifetime, to really bring people together. I feel the only way for humanity to really exist for much longer on this planet, on Mother Earth, is to come together in communities and share wisdom and share teachings and share learnings and share love. Because otherwise, I don't feel we will be here very much longer if the way everything is going on the planet and the signs that we keep getting, you know? And it's just a case of, okay, humanity, waken up. Let's waken up. For a lot of us who came here with a different consciousness also about this planet, it's like, okay, it's time to do this. We can't wait any longer. Mm-hmm. Now is the time. The Amazon's burning. Fires are burning all around the planet. It's time for us to take action. And for me, this was always my way, no? In human rights work, it was always, okay, we need to do this, we need to do this. But actually, all of that starts with yourself. It starts with myself. We have to do the work on ourselves before we can change anything around us. And that's what ultimately brought me into this work. Because when we really start to look at ourselves and go into our shadows and heal the wounds from our parents, heal the wounds from our past lives, we can really begin to make real transformation happen, create spaces of transformation to happen, inspire people around us to do the same.
And we were talking before about that being a great part of your inspiration, sending out the seeds. Can you talk about that?
Yes, well, in this way, you know, because I feel here it's such an honor for what we're involved in here in El Camino Sagrado, because almost every single person that comes to us transforms in so many ways. You know, you've also witnessed that throughout the group. And it's just incredible. This is so, so, so rewarding for me, for us here. And also what's so rewarding in that is that we are not just affecting those people, but those people are the ambassadors for so many different countries in the planet, so many different families or friends that they have, that just by their being, they can affect. Because I don't feel it's always necessary to, often we can waste a lot of energy trying to convince people of stuff. To change, we need to change. Whereas when you do the deep inner work, it automatically shifts your vibration. And so when you go back to a reality and you make the changes that are necessary in that reality so that you don't fall into the old patterns or habits, automatically you're affecting all of those around you in your work, in your family, in your environment, in your communities. And so that's the seedlings of change. I mean, for me, is so wonderful, so wonderful. And I'm also a kind of person that there's always more. We can always do it in a bigger scale as well. And so, yes, I would love for us as El Camino Sagrado to go more international. And even, for example, when I go back to Ireland next year to visit my family, to also share a lot of this work there. Also with family, with friends, and also creating events. Because often, I really believe we have this responsibility, you know? Like, I really believe Mother Earth needs us to take this responsibility.
Right.
And for me, it's just such an honor and a blessing to be part of all of that and to be able to live that and to be able to live in an environment where I can do my own inner work to such a profound level every day. And yes, it's intense, but I wouldn't have it any other way either. Because when I do my own work, we do it as a collective in the community. And we help create that space where people can really just very easily come into that as well. You know, like they can feel the heart, the sense of love, the sense of safety. And as a result, very rapidly start their own process of healing.
That's beautiful. Talked about some transformations. What are some transformations that maybe you can highlight, or what do you think about? Story or a path or something some of the people have been through here that inspired you?
So it's really difficult for me to say any in particular because there have been so many. I do believe that the vast majority, almost all of the people that have been with us have experienced huge transformations. And it is always wonderful to, well, first of all, to have people like yourself who come back to us time and time again and every time see, you know, like a new glow around you. And every time see your own transformation, your own journey in that. But so many times I've been told off, a lot of people mostly taking the big leap to no longer play it safe, no longer stay in a job that doesn't serve them, no longer staying in a relationship that's toxic, no longer living in a family house that is extremely toxic for them. Quite a number of people as well taking the move to the bold step to be public, to create podcasts like this, to create videos, you know, really step into their power, right. Basically. Mm-hmm. It's basically this, no? Step into their power and share as much as possible. We often, as you've probably noticed in many of the retreats, we often have a lot of people come back to us and volunteer or come back and live in the valley. And for me, it's not always necessary that, but I really, really do encourage, after a transformational experience like this, with the integration, it's really important to have so much awareness around friends, family, environment, work, all of these things, to really take that leap to get rid of the toxins, the toxic relationships, everything that no longer serves. Because that way, you have the wings to be, to fly. You have the ability to be in your power. And all of us that are on this path, we've had to do this several times. Once, a huge leap, and after that, several times. And the transformational journey continues. So, yes, it's difficult to pinpoint one example because there are so many. There's so many. But I love, it's such a blessing for me. So what often happens is people write and just write a little comment or write a little, you know, message of what's going on in their lives,
right,
and how we have helped affect that.
Oh, that must be nice.
Yeah, it's incredible. So it's such a blessing.
Well, I'm very satisfied with that answer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Who should come here?
Anybody committed to themselves, committed to their own transformation. Anyone who has already done some kind of personal work to look inside. Anyone who's come to a point where they've had some kind of wake-up call and already begun some kind of path to transformation, whether it be a yoga class, whether it be some kind of group that they joined, but something just to, or whether they've researched, you know, there's so much information on the internet,
right.
But at the same time, it's being careful with the information on the internet. But anybody who really realizes inside that something's not right, and it's time to do something about it. And preferably that they've done a little bit of that preparation before coming here, because it is an intense process. And although it's very safely contained and held, it's still a lot of internal work. And the more that that person can be prepared for that beforehand, the better.
That sounds good. So who should think twice before they should come here?
Mm-hmm. So who should definitely not is anybody taking medication, because the natural medicines of ayahuasca and wachuma, really, it totally crosses the medicine. And it's just not possible. It's dangerous for us, for the person, to mix this kind of any kind of especially strong medication or antidepressants, okay, anything like this, with these plant medicines. Also, we have to be careful with some psychiatric experiences in the past that often has involved some chemical usage or effects on the brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like schizophrenia or stuff like that, or?
Yes, some stuff like that, but also when it's been several years of medical use.
Oh, okay.
And mixing so much with the mind that sometimes the person is no longer totally connected with their mind, and that can affect with the plant. But it's more so any kind of very, very strong interference like that with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any kind of really severe cases where someone has murdered someone, for example, I personally, and we as the organization, recommend that person go to the jungle and work for 6 months to a year with a shaman, because any kind of really, really intense experiences like that are coming for the military, where sometimes, you know, they've witnessed so much trauma and have maybe killed some people in the process. They need a lot deeper one-on-one work. And everybody that comes to us goes through a process where that's recommended. If it's a really severe situation like that, then it's recommended they do something like that instead.
Okay. So what is the, why don't you let us know what the process is for coming here? Because it's not, you can't just sign up online, pay and show up.
No.
Because there is a process.
Yeah, totally. So we have a whole interview process, Dylan, and that is really to make sure that whoever's coming to us is in alignment with what we're offering. And also that they've done some of this work beforehand. Hmm. I mean, it is difficult at the same time to know totally, because it's a series of interviews, or it's connecting in this way. It's also believing what someone tells us. And sometimes we will later find out that, you know, that's not always the case, not always the truth. But in general, this works very, very effectively, because usually it's rigorous enough process. And also it's feeling into the communication with the person beforehand, checking if they're ready for that person also to realize more on a deeper level what we're all about, and checking if the resonance is there for to come.
Yeah, I think that's a really important process.
Yes.
That's why there's been so many, I mean, all the people that I've met here as fellow retreat goers have been such amazing people, such open people, such people ready to change. Mm-hmm. You know, that's I think you guys have done a great job of, you know, making sure that people are in alignment with the mission and with your vision, with your values, and of this place, that this very sacred place.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it's really, really, really important. That part is extremely important, as well as the integration process afterwards, because both are, you know, to really check that the person's in resonance before coming, so that we can really, you know, that we can all work together here, and that they're ready to do that deep work here. We're providing the space, a container, and for example, yourself, you're coming here, you're showing up, and you're willing and ready to go to the depths of your being to heal all that doesn't serve anymore. And then we have the follow-up afterwards for whatever follow-up assistance is needed. Also, all of us as a team are available to support if ever there's any need.
Right. Yeah. Great.
And also for me, that sense of tribe, that sense of family is really important to cultivate, because we need this in the world. All of us need it. We need it also for everybody that comes to us to go back to their reality, to sustain them in that reality, to feel that they have something to help them. Mm. And that they have people. And usually in almost every group, everybody bonds so amazingly. And this is so amazing to witness, because they all sustain each other. And so actually, even if we're involved or not, they're all sustaining each other, you know? And that's just incredible.
It is. It's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's
amazing. One thing that I enjoy is when you do the offering, whatever, you seem so present. When you do the offers in Pachamama, and there's some ceremonies and some things that we do, and when you lead meditation, when you do yoga class, you seem so present, connected. What are some of the practices that you personally do during retreat or after retreat to keep yourself connected to spirit?
Well, I personally really love the daily practice of yoga, or also combining that. Recently, I've been combining that again with a running practice to really...
Ooh, at altitude.
Yes. And, you know, to really honor the body, because it needs to stretch and it needs to be worked. And my body has always had that. Always I've been very much involved in teams in my youth and up into my mid-20s. And so my body needs, you know, it's in the physical, it needs to feel stretched. It needs to feel worked. Mm-hmm. It also in the spiritual, it's the movement, it's the listening to the body, it's the connecting with the earth. I mean, simple things like walking barefoot in the earth, for me, is such a connection to the mother. To really just breathe in the energy of the sun is such a connection to the father, son. to take my drum. I often go out to the mountains or go out here in the nature and take my drum and just sing for as long as I feel with the rattle and the drum to the spirits all around. Mm. To the spirits of the air, the water, the fire, the earth, to the apus, the mountain spirits. And this is to the guardians of this place. And this is my honoring of them and my appreciation for allowing us, enabling us to be here and doing this work. Mm. And as well as that, to meditate. For me, yes, it can be a challenge to sit for an hour in total silence. But for me, meditation comes in so many forms. You know, it comes in the form of like that, to take the drum and meditate with it or for go for a run. Or also just feel into so many times in the day, am I in my center and really recentering my energy. Mm. And just coming back to center. I also find being present is the best medicine, is the best connection to spirit, is the best connection to my son and partner as well. And it's a constant reminder to do that, you know, especially, yes, with children, with animals. There's such blessings for being present and being and with joy in your heart. You know, so my son is a huge master for me in this, to really just, okay, I'm giving my presence to you for this time and whatever you want to show me, whatever you want to play with. Mm. And for me, this is also such medicine to spirit, such connection to spirit, such connection to presence, being in the moment.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Is there anything else you want to talk about this place or yourself or visitors here or the mountains or anything we should do or be concerned about?
I would just really share that for like really the most important thing is that we observe. That we observe, we check with ourselves, are we in our center? We check with ourselves, are we present? And really to do our own inner work is the best gift that we can do give to this planet. Because when we're doing our own inner work, we're from that place, we're actually ready to genuinely share and to improve this planet, to give back to their Mother Earth, to create changes that actually do something good for the Earth. And so I really encourage anybody listening to this to do that, show up for themselves. Mm. It's not selfish, it's necessary. And it's not just necessary for them, for you, it's necessary for this planet. Really, for us to exist in harmony, in balance, we need to be in harmony and balance. And I know it's not easy. Often so many challenges come to us in the life, but also it depends how we view those challenges. When we shift our perspective, we can often see those challenges as an opportunity. And so really just to take all opportunities possible to transform and to really, so many people talk about this incredible sense of connectedness in ceremony. And you know, really, the lesson is to live life like a ceremony, mm. every day like a ceremony. This is another mantra of mine recently. To live every day like you're in ceremony, like it's a ceremony. To come into that state of presence, that state of grace and appreciation for all that we have in the life, rather than the focus on all that we're lacking. Mm-hmm. And to really connect with our Earth Mother, really connect with Mother Earth and really connect in the form of offerings, to offer some food and some plants to the Mother Earth in gratitude or some crystals, whatever it is that you wish to offer, is such an amazing way to create that connection. Mm. To create that connection also with guides, with higher self, your higher self, with source is so key, I feel, in this path. Because otherwise, we often feel we're alone and that we don't have the support. And in reality, we all have all of that support available to us. We just need to ask and create a relationship with the spirit world. And when we can do that and we can honor it and we can bring it into our daily awareness, then really, in my experience, everything has transformed for me in my life. Mm. And as well as that, some advice that I got several years ago about stop caring what other people think about you is so, so important. To live your life with integrity, authenticity, to really be in your place of truth and your place of true wisdom. You know, when it's coming from a place of, okay, I can see my shadows. I can look at the conditioning I've experienced in my life. I can look at all of these emotions that I've been harboring that no longer serve and the beliefs that no longer serve and really do something to change those so that they're no longer impacting the same way as the patterns that have been created before in our lifetimes, what's in our generations, the lineage, our grandparents, our parents. So now is the time.
How's the time? Thank you, Selena. Thank you for being you. Mm. Thank you for holding the space for so many people and making this available for so many people. Mm. Yeah, I love this place. I do. I love it. I love you too. Every time I leave here, I leave a little piece of my heart here.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so beautiful. It's such a magical place. And you guys do such a great, wonderful job here helping people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. You.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Visionary Spaces. The mission of Visionary Spaces is to spread the wisdom of the masters of the visionary space. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and better yet, give us a 5-star review. Getting great reviews really helps our mission. If you know of a guest who would be a great addition to this podcast, please send me an email at info@lessonslived.com. That is, again, info@lessonslived.com. And make sure to put Visionary Spaces in the subject line. Until next time, I wish you well.